Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Rebel's Return by Victoria James, narrated by Elizabeth Russell. Chapter 1. Natalia Angelica Puccini prayed for a miracle. She knew it would take nothing short of a miracle to stop her cousin, Francesca Puccini, from proceeding with what would inevitably turn into a train wreck of a speech. She also knew that she would be dragged under the proverbial train because her cousin never missed an opportunity to humiliate her. Natalia held her breath and clutched the sides of her gold Shivari chair as her cousin lifted her glass of champagne, which was actually her fifth refill, and waved it in Natalia's direction.
Oh, God, no.
She braced herself by plastering a fake smile on her face, not letting the room full of family and friends know just how much this bothered her.
I would like to thank all of you for attending my bridal shower today. You mean the world to me, and without you guises, I would not be the person I am today.
Natalia tried her hardest not to let her smile waver. It should not fill her with perverse pleasure that her cousin's abominable grammar always made an appearance when she'd had a few too many. But she did make a mental note to remember this so she could have a laugh in private later on.
And now a toast to my bridesmaids, and in particular, my maid of honor and dear, dear first cousin, Natalia.
Natalia dug her nails into the underside of the chair and held her breath.
Natalia has been with me through thick and thin. We've grown into fabulous women together, and there isn't anyone else I'd rather have by my side on my wedding day. She is a selfless and devoted cousin, because even though it must pain her greatly to be a maid of honor for the third time, and never a bride, she graciously accepted my request. So here's to Natalia. I still believe that love is in your future. Hear, hear.
Natalia lifted her glass and downed it, hoping it would drown the choice words she had for the cousin who never failed to miss an opportunity to belittle her. It was fine. All fine. She hadn't announced anything that this entire room didn't already know. Boring, dependable, rule-following Natalia was destined to grow old alone, despite being loved by her giant, overbearing Italian-Canadian family. As she'd done many times in the years since her cousin and the soon-to-be groom had betrayed Natalia, she wondered what had happened to their relationship. Francesca had been Natalia's favorite cousin. They'd grown up together and had been very close. Once everyone's attention turned to the lasagna course that was being served, Natalia made eye contact with her mother. Her mother stood, tilted her head to the right, and walked toward the washroom. Natalia quickly followed suit. The ladies' room was empty of all but her mother when Natalia burst through a moment later.
Can you believe her?
She's a silly girl.
The sneer that accompanied the word silly was something only her mother was capable of doing. Since she didn't swear, her vocabulary was somewhat limited. But she made her point.
She said it on purpose,
Natalia whispered, joining her in front of the large mirrors. Her mother's dark eyes narrowed.
I know. Well, she only made a fool of herself. Honestly, your father's side of the family is shameless.
Natalia chose to ignore what could get them off the main topic and sidetracked into the lifetime debate of whose side of the family was saner.
I wish I had never accepted.
Family is family, her mother said, the same response Natalia had heard her entire life.
It was beginning to irk her in a way that was making it increasingly difficult to agree and shrug off.
I'm getting sick of that line. What does that mean, anyway? Family is family? So just because someone shares the same DNA, they can crap all over you?
Her mother pursed her lips.
Language. Don't get yourself all worked up. Be content knowing that the problem lies with her and not you. Now let's go before people wonder what's happened to us.
Natalia crossed her arms.
Of course. We wouldn't want people to talk.
Her mother sighed, stopping at the door. I'm going out. Take a few minutes to compose yourself, dear.
Natalia slowly turned to look at herself in the mirror. What was wrong with her? She didn't have any horrific disfigurements that might make the dating scene more challenging. She ran her own business. She was smart. She thought she was funny. She had friends. She even had a lifelong BFF. But the awful, pathetic truth was that she hadn't been in love in 10 years. Not since Aiden McCann had made her believe that bad boys could be so, so good. Until he'd then broken her heart. She squeezed her eyes shut for a moment and then rolled her shoulders and took a deep breath. She eyed herself in the mirror.
Get it together, Nat. Focus on your goals. You don't need a man to be happy. In fact, men are the very cause of all of your unhappiness. Move forward with your business plans and bakery delivery service.
She gave her reflection a nod. As soon as this shower was over, she had 5 deliveries to make. See? She had way more things to focus on than men and family. Yes, that was the plan. No men, just work. No dwelling on Aiden McCann. Of course, it didn't help that one of the deliveries she had to make was to poor old Mr. McCann, Aiden's father. But still, there was no point dwelling on Aiden. He had left Red River 10 years ago with no intention of ever coming home. Coming home was as crappy as he'd imagined it would be. Aiden McCann pulled his helmet off his head, ran his hand through his hair, and then sat still on his Harley as he stared at his childhood home. It hadn't changed much, even after all these years. It hadn't always been a dump. Sure, it had been on the wrong side of the tracks in Red River, but when his mother had been alive, there had been flowers, the lawn had been immaculate, and his older brother Dylan told him there had even been hanging baskets in the summer. He could confirm all that in the family pictures. But he didn't remember. He didn't remember flowers, or a doting father, or his mother. To Aiden, his mother had been nothing but a dream. To his brother and his father, she had been everything. He shoved both his hands in his hair, feeling the dampness, trying to shake some of it off. A cold drizzle had started halfway through the ride down from Toronto. He probably shouldn't have taken his bike out this time of year, but October's weather could go either way. And today it was perfectly parallel to his mood. Stinking miserable, gray, with a dampness that went right through your bones until you were chilled from head to toe. But he'd needed to feel the cold air, to feel the final hours of freedom before living under the same roof as his father for the next 8 weeks. His eyes narrowed, taking in the condition of the front yard. It was ratty-looking. The fall leaves hadn't been raked, and the few flower beds hadn't been cleaned up and readied for the coming winter season. He and his brother paid for a gardener to maintain the property for their dad, so why wasn't it being done? Enough stalling. He'd better get inside and face his dad. He grabbed the duffel bag clipped onto the back of his bike and swung it over his shoulder, unzipped his leather jacket, and walked up the steps to the small, one-level house. After a few minutes of freezing his ass off and not even a remote sign that the door would be answered, he gave a knock on the door and then walked in. The front entrance was dark, the tiles looking kind of muddy, and the rug worn and sad.
Hey, Dad? It's me.
He shrugged out of his jacket, dropped his bag, and took off his boots. There was still no answer. Obviously, his father hadn't been waiting by the window for his youngest kid to come home. Not that he'd ever done that. He walked toward the blaring sound of the television. The commentator announced the next hand was now being dealt. Yeah, sounded like his dad was watching World Poker Tour again. Aiden stood in the doorway to the small family room, waiting for his father to notice him. Or acknowledge him. It didn't happen.
Is there something wrong with your hearing, too?
Finally, his father looked up from the television, probably because there was a commercial.
Hi, didn't think you'd be coming today.
Aiden studied his father. He looked like he'd lost a bit of weight. What was left of his gray hair was fluffy and stood on end. His usual t-shirt and blue pants hung off him. Guilt made him look away for a minute. He and Dylan should have come home sooner, but they hadn't had much of a relationship with their father since they'd left Red River 10 years ago. He shoved his hands in his pockets.
I told you at least 5 times in the last week that I was coming home today.
His dad grunted.
We've got to meet with your oncologist and radiologist on Monday, remember?
I've got prostate cancer, not Alzheimer's.
That sounded more like him. Aiden would have cracked a smile if he didn't feel bad for his dad, or if they had a kind of jokey relationship. Their relationship was strained, the shots and digs laced with ancient resentment that would never disappear, never be resolved.
I'll be taking you to your appointments every day for the next 7 weeks.
His father pointed the remote at the television, raising the volume.
Not necessary. I don't think I even need to be there.
You're going. Dylan and I spent an hour on the phone with Evan last Tuesday. We've also got an appointment with him next week.
This time his father turned to scowl at him.
Manning? What does that punk know anyway?
He stifled his urge to swear. One of them needed to be the adult.
That punk is your doctor, and he's concerned about you.
What about doctor-patient confidentiality?
He's an old friend.
The Mannings were the oldest friends he and Dylan had. Evan was the youngest of 3 brothers and a talented doctor and former surgeon. Although he and Evan hadn't been that close growing up, they were on friendly terms. It was the middle brother, Jake, that had been Aiden's right-hand man when it came to getting in trouble. He and Jake had been inseparable, right up until Aiden's last days in Red River. All 3 Manning brothers had gone on to marry and have kids. He had no idea what that was like. He and Dylan enjoyed concentrating on work and leading uncomplicated bachelor lives in the city.
Humph! Once a delinquent, always a delinquent. I don't know how he graduated from medical school.
Evan wasn't the delinquent. You're thinking of Jake.
His father grunted.
Oh, yeah, him. Just because that one married a minister's daughter doesn't make him a saint now. I remember all the trouble you boys got into. All those Mannings are trouble.
Aiden pinched the bridge of his nose. He needed to get this conversation back on track.
Dad, that was a long time ago.
Still, he never should have called you. Come to think of it, Evan is pissed because I tried to pick up his wife.
Aiden felt sick. This was the kind of stuff that went on when he left town. His father needed a babysitter.
His wife is like 20-something.
She wasn't complaining.
Yeah, she probably thought he was ready to be admitted.
I can't even acknowledge that without wanting to puke.
Evan is dramatic.
I don't think a diagnosis of prostate cancer and whatever else is him being dramatic. Why the hell didn't you tell us?
His dad gave another grunt and focused his eyes on the television again.
Hello?
He waved the remote around.
Stop being theatrical. It's not life or death.
He grabbed the remote out of his father's hand, turned off the television, and waited while his father swore at him.
Last time I checked, cancer was life or death.
I feel fine. I look fine.
Actually, you look like hell, so Monday morning we're going to meet with the radiation oncologist and get the ball rolling. We talked about this on the phone already, Dad. You have to do this if you want to live. You'll be fine, but you need to have treatment.
Well, you don't need to be here.
That was gratitude for you.
How are you going to drive an hour each way every day?
He shrugged.
I have no issues driving.
What if you have side effects? At the very least, you'll be tired.
Go back to the city where you and your brother do whatever the hell you want. Don't waste your time here.
We work, Dad.
Right. How could I forget the super successful entrepreneur sons I raised?
He cringed at the sarcasm that dripped from his father's mouth.
It's fine. Dylan and I flipped a coin, and I'm here.
It was the truth. No need to add that he was the loser, so he was the one that had to do this. Or the fact that despite the coin toss, he knew he'd have to be the one to do this because despite his own issues with their father, Dylan's were even worse. He got that. Dylan had been around long before him and had felt the aftermath of their mother's death much more deeply than he had.
I hope you don't expect me to get on that death trap motorcycle you drive, his dad said a minute later.
That was more like it. Selfless one moment and critical the next. At least he knew what to do with this version of his father.
Of course not. We'll take your car.
His father looked away again. He and his brother had bought their dad a BMW sedan last year when he'd complained that his old clunker had finally died. He had, of course, yelled at them and told them it was unnecessary. He'd also never thanked them. But that wasn't really a surprise.
Also, Dylan and I were looking up diet and prostate cancer. On our way back from the hospital, we'll stop and buy you some real food, and we read that green tea is beneficial for prevention.
He knew his father's diet consisted of fried everything from a local restaurant and anything that came from a bag.
That's crap. Nothing wrong with John's Diner, and I wouldn't drink green tea if it were the last drink in town. Besides, I missed the boat on prevention, so what's the point?
Hello, Mr. McCann.
Aiden's stomach dropped. That voice. Hell, he'd know that voice anywhere. Usually he found that voice in his dreams. He knew, without turning around, who was walking through the house. Crap. He wasn't prepared to see her. Sure, he'd known they'd run into each other, but not now, half an hour after he'd arrived back in town. Why was she here anyway? And why didn't his father look surprised by the fact that Natalia Puccini, his ex-girlfriend, was walking through his home as if it was something she did every day? He glanced over at his father and frowned.
In here, sugar!
Sugar? Aiden turned around to find a stunning brunette walking over to them. God, every single inch of him came alive. Natalia had always been striking, curvy, and beautiful. Now the curves had turned into bombshell territory, and her facial features had become more delicate and refined. She was stunning. She was carrying a paper bag and wearing a smile that actually made him aware that he still had a heart. And other body parts. He was speechless as old feelings and memories bombarded him, catapulting him back to a time in his life he would have done anything for a woman. Not any woman. Her. The moment Natalia spotted him, everything inside him died, because the light left her eyes and the smile left her gorgeous face. He cleared his throat.
Hi, Nat.
She lifted her chin, and the paper bag crinkled as she all but choked it.
It's Natalia.
This was not going well, but that was to be expected after how they'd left things. He trampled across her heart and then left town without looking back.
Right, Natalia. Hi, how are you?
He was going to have to be contrite and deal with the attitude that was being hurled at him in her voice, in those big, expressive brown eyes. He had to, because he was the one who'd screwed up. Badly.
Aiden, she said. What are you doing here?
He glanced over at his father.
You didn't tell anyone I was coming home?
His dad shrugged.
Didn't think you actually would.
He turned back to Natalia.
I'm here to help my dad during treatment.
For a second, her features softened, reminding him of the girl he used to know. Then they tightened up again, getting pissy-looking. She passed him, leaving him with the tantalizing smell of vanilla and sugar and... hell, he didn't know what else, but it was damn good. He jammed his hands in the front pockets of his jeans and watched incredulously as she plumped up the pillows behind his dad and then pulled out a cardboard container filled with a sandwich on some kind of dark brown, wholesome-looking bread and a large salad topped with berries and nuts, along with a paper cup with a closed lid and a tea bag string hanging out. Aiden braced himself. There was no way his father would eat this healthy of a meal. His father grumbled something incoherently. Apparently, Natalia knew exactly what he'd said.
"Now, Mr. McCann, I only want what's best for you. We're going to lay off all the sugar while you're going through treatment, and green tea has excellent antioxidant benefits. I promise I will bring you one canolo every Saturday as a reward for getting through the week."
Aiden tensed, waiting for his father's sarcastic response to Natalia's sweet attempt at making him eat healthy food. He was prepared to defend her.
"All right, dear, I can't say no to a thing you suggest," his father said and patted her on the hand.
Aiden stood there, shocked into dumb silence. He had gone plain crazy. Was he truly witnessing this? When he had suggested to his father over the phone giving up a couple of his evening beers during cancer treatment, his father had sworn at him and then hung up the phone.
"Good. Now enjoy your lunch. Have a nice visit with your son, and I'll see you tomorrow."
"Wait a second, Natalia," Aiden said. She stopped in front of him, those brown eyes holding him still, making him forget for a half second what he wanted to say. It didn't even matter that her eyes were currently, silently, telling him to F off. She glanced down at her watch and then up at him, raising her eyebrows.
"I'm here now. You don't have to keep coming here and bringing my father lunch. Speaking of, what do I owe you for this?" he asked, reaching for his wallet.
"Keep your hands out of your pants, boy. I'm all square with Nat, and you don't need to make lunch arrangements on my behalf."
She shrugged and gave him a smile before walking by. He followed her to the door, ignoring his father.
"Nat, Alia, seriously, what do I owe you?"
"I don't need to be compensated. Your father and I have a friendship that has nothing to do with you. It may surprise you to know that people continued to live their lives after you skipped town. Red River has actually managed to thrive in your absence. I'm glad you're home for your father's sake," she whispered, pulling on her boots.
They were black riding boots, and they were pretty hot. Like the girl. Woman. He'd missed the sound of her voice. He could stand there all day like a moron just listening to her. Except for the fact that she hated him.
"Well, I'm glad everyone's doing so well without me around. Are you running your parents' bakery?"
She nodded, picking up a large black purse.
"Yes, my parents have officially retired."
At one point in his life, the Puccinis had been like a second family to him. Natalia's older brother Dominic had been his best friend. But that was before Aiden screwed everything up.
"That's great. I know your dream was to take over the business one day."
She pursed her lips.
"I'm surprised you remember. None of this matters anyway because you left."
Hell. She didn't waste any time, so he wouldn't either. He wasn't above the truth.
"Every damn day I regret leaving."
Her face visibly relaxed for a moment, her mouth opening slightly. Then she snapped it shut and narrowed her eyes on him.
"Like I said, I'm happy for your father's sake that you're back. See you around."
He didn't want her to leave just yet.
"Thanks for bringing my dad lunch. Every day?"
She paused, her hand on the doorknob, and then turned, glancing at him over her shoulder.
"Not a problem. My pleasure. I was so worried when I heard, but he says everything should be fine, right?"
She was a softy. Even though she hated him, she lingered long enough to find out about his dad. He gave her a nod. Yeah, the doctors had said it had been caught early, thanks to some routine blood work Evan had ordered. But regardless, his dad had to do daily radiation therapy for 7 weeks. It had rattled him and Dylan. He was pretty sure his dad was scared, too. Cancer was the dreaded word in their home, ever since they had lost their mother to it.
Since then, their relationship with their dad had been strained, to say the least. Too many memories of whiskey and harsh words.
Yeah, everything should be good.
She looked down at the ground.
He's a tough goat. You'll see. It means a lot to him, knowing you're here.
Aiden grunted, looking over at his father, who was currently inhaling the sandwich.
Thanks. I was worried you wouldn't be able to be in the same room as me, let alone come here and help my father.
I hate hating people. I just dislike you intensely, Aiden. Don't mistake my being kind to your father as kindness toward you. As for being civil, I can do that too.
Ouch. Great. Well, now that we've cleared the air, I'm glad things won't be awkward between us while I'm here.
No worries.
God, this was going to be a long 8 weeks.
Fine. So you hate me.
She shook her head.
That's such a negative emotion. Also, too strong of an emotion for a man I haven't thought about in 10 years.
He crossed his arms.
You haven't thought about me in 10 years?
Nope. Not at all.
He took a step closer to her, mostly because he couldn't resist.
I think you're lying.
And why would you think that?
You bring my father food every day.
She took a step closer to him.
Because I feel bad for him, not because of you.
Well, you must think about me every time you walk into the house.
She rolled her eyes.
More like a passing thought, like if somebody puked after eating Chinese food, then every time they saw Chinese food, they made the association.
He was torn between laughing and being insulted. He glanced down at her mouth, and his stomach clenched. She still had the nicest mouth he'd ever seen. Soft, kissable lips, and he knew, remembered, exactly how she tasted. He was pleased to notice her gaze kept going from his eyes to his mouth. So maybe she thought about other things besides puking when he was around. Not that he'd let on.
When you think about me, you're thinking about vomit?
She nodded.
Pretty much. Welcome back to Red River, Aiden.
And with those endearing words, the woman he'd thought he'd one day marry opened the door and walked out. He remained fixed in that position, refusing to give in to his need to go after her and tell her the truth. But the other truth, the one that made him leave town in the first place, was stronger. He'd hurt a lot of people here. He kept his hand on the door a minute longer. He needed to get through these 8 weeks, keep his emotional distance, and then get the hell out of Red River for good.
Chapter 2.
So, Aiden McCann is officially back in town?
Sabrina, lifelong best friend extraordinaire and partner in crime, put her oversized latte cup down on the bistro table in the bakery and stared at Nat with a mixture of what had to be shock and pity.
What? Are you serious? Has this been confirmed?
Natalia nodded, dunking her biscotto into her own latte. The dunking quickly turned into stabbing until it threatened to break.
I saw him.
She waited for the impending gasp from her BFF. Once it had happened, she continued speaking.
I was at his dad's house delivering lunch right after Francesca's bridal shower, and there he was, standing in the living room, looking like...
Her voice trailed off, and she began jabbing the cookie again, angry at just how good he did look.
What? What does he look like?
She groaned and hunched over her destroyed, soggy, biscotto-filled latte as the image of Aiden flooded her. It wasn't fair. He was back and looking better than ever. It also wasn't fair that she was obviously not over him. She should have been over him. A decade was a long time. In that decade, she'd dated, thought she'd fallen in love, been humiliated, but also built herself back up and taken on business challenges. She wasn't the same girl that was so naive she'd let two men fool her. Nope. But none of that could erase the impact Aiden had had on her yesterday. Sabrina grabbed her wrist for a second.
I can't watch you stab that anymore. Tell me about Aiden.
She closed her eyes with a sigh.
Even better than when he was younger. So unfair, because now he's all, like, manly. She opened her eyes. Real man stubble, real man muscles, and still with
sample complete. Ready to continue?